Live from Next Gen Studios, this is The Sports Page.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Saturday and welcome to The Sports Page on Next Gen Media. I'm your host, Ashton Nix, coming to you from the Next Gen Studios. Well, coming into this week, it's just me. For those waiting for guests, we will have a guest next week. Chris Robb Jr. will be back on the show, but this week you just have me talking sports. That's what you listen to the show, right? And it's that rare time, that time of year where all the sports are converging, where you have NFL, baseball, basketball, I mean, college football, hockey's about to start. And you have, I mean, for soccer fans, the MLS is going strong right now, working its way towards the playoffs. And it's really exciting because you're starting to put all these pieces together. So it's not only everything going on, it's coming off of the summertime where there's basically one thing happening. I mean, soccer's going on, but baseball's the main deal. And sorry to baseball fans, but there are a lot of people who, we like a lot of things going on. We love sports. I love baseball. I follow baseball, though not as much right now because I'm a Texas Rangers fan. But you go from sports writers and sports news picking apart every little detail in training camps for football. We like call it the dog days of summer when they're bringing up every little Cowboys deal, just trying to find people to latch on Dallas Cowboys news. So they'll take one little thing and blow it way out of proportion. But now there's so much going on, you have to raise your standard for what's breaking news. And it's really exciting. And right now we'll jump off talking about the NFL. And being a Dallas-based sports show, will obviously start off with the Cowboys beating the Chargers last Sunday 20-17 on a last second field goal by Greg the Leg Zuerlein. And I'm not gonna lie, I was nervous. The coaching staff really kind of screwed up that last 20-30 seconds, and they could have got another playoff. And I realized Greg Zuerlein can make a kick from 60 yards away, but I wouldn't bet on it or rely on it, especially after he's missed an extra point, a short field goal in week one. So McCarthy says there was issues with not wearing a camera blocking a scoreboard, and the main scoreboard he looks at was not on the screen. And I mean, come on, it's a $5 billion stadium. You need to know where the clocks are at. And if it's an issue where you cannot see a clock, if it's a stadium issue, then that needs to, you know, be brought up to the next level for NFL to investigate, which I don't think is the case because he really didn't make it sound like a big deal. It was kind of, it was kind of like just an excuse. Like, oh yeah, we didn't do it. But I think what it was is they didn't want to cough up the ball, and for some reason the Cowboys coaching staff just blindly supports Zuerlein and thinks he can, you know, he's Superman. But he made the 56-yard game-winning field goal with room to spare. He's got the leg, it's his accuracy sometimes. But going throughout the game, they did really good on offense. Defense, I mean, it was another one of those things where they get two interceptions. It's something Cowboys fans haven't seen in a while. They're not known for getting a lot of turnovers. But very inconsistent defense. I mean, their first interception on the opening drive for the Chargers, I mean, the Cowboys give up two plays, and all of a sudden the Chargers are on the Cowboys 30-yard line. They're just blowing past them, and then they throw an interception in that drive. And the other interception was in the end zone. I mean, And Cowboys let him drive all the way down there, and you're thinking that this is bad. It's a tie game, and you don't want to give up the field goal and have to come back and win it. And luckily, they get the interception. So it's kind of odd. It's what do you want more? Do you want more of a solid D? That's a defense that is more conservative with their play, or do you want to get turnovers? And certain times of the game that can be an issue. I mean, Cowboys typically play more conservative because they don't have those superstars on defense. And yeah, you're not going to typically give up long bombs on the defensive side, but you're not going to get a lot of turnovers. But if you play like they've been playing, a little more aggressive, yeah, you're going to get blown right by a few times, especially the case with Antonio Brown and Anthony Brown, that you're going to give up the big plays, but you're going to come across with more turnovers more often than not. So right now, their defense has been an improvement over last year overall, if you're talking about yards and points they give up, but completely different, very inconsistent. But moving around the NFL, I mean, we have to talk about Tampa Bay and what Tom Brady's doing. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat Atlanta 48-25. Not breaking news there. Atlanta hadn't been good. They just got rolled over by Philly in week one. Brady throws 5 touchdowns. And right now, Tom Brady's just a few touchdown passes from throwing more touchdowns in his 40s than he did in his 20s, which is a ridiculous stat on its own. And right now, since Tom Brady turned 35, he's thrown more touchdowns than Joe Montana did in his whole career. And I know what you're going to say. It's a different game now. Obviously it is. Quarterbacks are protected more than they ever were. Tom Brady, not only a good example of that, but pretty much the face of protecting quarterbacks. And he admits it too. That's what's helped the longevity of his career. I don't think Joe Montana could have played very long in the era he played in. Very much longer in the era he played in. But what Brady's doing is ridiculous. I mean, everyone's waiting for him to fall off and start showing his age. And last year, a little bit, he did. He had some really bad games. And even in the playoffs, especially the NFC Championship game, it was the Buccaneers defense that got them to the Super Bowl. Brady was just trying to give it away with the interceptions he was throwing. But for a 44-year-old quarterback to be at the elite level he's at, and I know he put together I don't know what to call it, a super team in the level that LeBron does it, or Kevin Durant, but the Buccaneers definitely added pieces. It wasn't like they missed the playoffs, added Tom Brady, they won a Super Bowl. I mean, they added Gronk, added Antonio Brown, they added a lot of players. But I'll be honest, at the beginning of last year, before the season started, I put it out there on Twitter. I said, before anything gets kicked off, I'm going to let you know I don't believe the Buccaneers hype. I think they're a wild card team, and that's it. And they did, you know, I think I said 9-7 wild card team. I think they won 10, maybe 11 games. But they were a wild card team. But I didn't expect them to go on and win the Super Bowl. And the experts that were picking them to win the Super Bowl, I thought, you know, it was pretty ridiculous. They were getting hyped up. But now it's hard to deny it. It's hard to say that the Buccaneers can't win the Super Bowl this year, because from what they were last year, the exact same starters, they brought back all 22 starters, still have Tom Brady looking like he's in his prime, almost throwing another 5 touchdowns. Something else that, another game, you know, we're moving into week 3 now, Thursday night football, the Panthers beat the Texans 24-9. Not a big surprise for the Texans. They added another backup quarterback in. Who knows how the Deshaun Watson thing's going to figure out. But on the Panthers are 3-0 now with Sam Darnold as their quarterback. And I think it's safe to say, I threw it out on social media last night, I think it's safe to say that Darnold was not the problem on the Jets, which is pretty obvious. I mean, Jets are a terribly run organization right now. Obviously, you throw in the best quarterback in the league wouldn't help them right now. But I thought it was a situation with good thing he got out of there, because I thought it was going to be a situation like Blake Bortles, which I thought Blake Bortles could have had a much better career if he wasn't stuck on Jacksonville for so long and getting hurt and really stunting his progression as a quarterback. But Darnold, obviously, it's night and day. I think I read a stat where Darnold won three games in three out of 16 or 17 games for the Jets, and he's won three out of three for the Panthers. It's pretty crazy, and I know somebody had commented on my post when I said it's obvious, safe to say that Darnold's not wasn't the problem on the Jets, and somebody posted, well, it's not an easy measuring stick because he's got a better team around him. That's the exact point I'm making, is that Darnold, which, you know, being on a better team obviously elevates your play. You see with Dak Prescott going into the situation he went in with the Cowboys, that obviously if you're on a better team, you're going to have better numbers. If you're going to be on a worse team, you're going to have a worse number. It's hard to grade quarterbacks on a level playing field. But Darnold, on the Jets side, they really had to do it because you're in an era where Darnold's contract's going to come up and you're not going to pay him $30 or $40 million, but you're going to have to pay him. And that doesn't make sense for a team in a rebuilding mode. Ideally, what you want to do is kind of have a team in place where you throw a quarterback in there, and after a couple of years, he kind of develops into a playoff potential team. The problem with this is you could have kept Darnold for a little bit, is you go out and draft Zach Wilson with your top pick, and you could use that top pick for other positions, because obviously, as we're seeing, Zach Wilson may turn out to be a good quarterback in a few years, and if the Jets can, you know, get out of their own way, they may be able to get out of this rebuilding period with Wilson. But you're in a situation is, okay, best case scenario, Zach Wilson's the answer. By the time the Jets are out of this period, at least, at best, 3 or 4 years, well, now you're going to have to pay Wilson. You're going to have to re-sign him. Ideally, although this wasn't the plan for the Cowboys, ideally you would build a team around him, then draft your quarterback. Although, really, when the Cowboys were drafting all their offensive linemen and really building that line, it was to protect Tony Romo. And then they brought Zeke in to give him that, probably one of the most explosive backs he's, or would have been the most explosive backs he's ever played with. And then he gets hurt anyway in the preseason, and Dak's just kind of there. And it wasn't the plan. They didn't expect Dak to start over Romo, their fourth round draft pick. I mean, he was really their third string quarterback. And it's hard, though, because you can't, when you have one of those top picks, it's hard to pass up those quarterbacks. You don't want to not draft Trevor Lawrence. Now, obviously, it's only two games in, and it's rough seeing how Trevor Lawrence has been. But when scouts and experts are calling him the next coming of Peyton Manning, you almost have to draft him, and you don't want to not draft him and him turn into Peyton Manning. You would rather draft him and him turn out to be a bust, and, you know, you just go back to square one rather than him going to another team, becoming a Hall of Fame quarterback, and beating you. It's difficult. But on the Panthers end, Thursday night football, Christian McCaffrey is injured again. Hamstring injury, and he's going to have an MRI. At the time of this recording, he hasn't had the MRI yet, or it hadn't been announced what the results were. But you're wondering, is this an issue for McCaffrey now? Is he just going to, for the rest of his career, be plagued by injury, because last year, coming off an injury, he's had a lot of touches on the ball these first three games. It's a little shocking to see. Like, in general, maybe it's slightly above average, but coming off an injury, he had 30 touches against the Jets in week one, 29 touches against the Saints, and he had 9 last night, the other night against the Texans on a Thursday Night Football before he was injured. So that's a lot. I mean, you're thinking 20, 25 is how much a running back should touch it. Now, I get he's the running back, probably one of the best running backs in the league, if not the best. He's definitely the first option for the Panthers. It's him and then Darnold, unless Darnold can prove himself. But he's obviously the superstar, and I get that. But I thought they probably be a little more cautious with him coming off an injury. And speaking of injuries, this week the Browns are going to play the Bears, and Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to make his season debut after he tore his ACL last year. Terrible injury. Odell Beckham's one of those. He's been dealing with injuries for the last few seasons. And he should have quite a bit of opportunity to get back in the groove of things. Jarvis Landry's obviously out with his own knee injury. He's going to miss at least 3 weeks. So I guess this is lucky for the Browns, or maybe they were just being cautious with him and holding him out. And now that Landry's out, maybe they're moving that timestamp up to get Odell Beckham in there, because I don't think the Browns are favored in their division. The Ravens are obviously going to be favored, and the Steelers. Who knows with Ben Roethlisberger's injury? But they're competing, and Cincinnati's not a team you're just going to roll over anymore, at least this year. So the Browns can't miss a beat. They need Odell to be, if not 100% close to it, and especially since Landry's out. It seems like it's kind of breaking news-esque, but the NFL in general is changing so much. It's just every year there's something different. But this year, it's not necessarily official yet, but it probably will be very soon. But they're looking at adding a Monday Night Football game to the wild card round of the playoffs. So obviously they've expanded the playoffs last year. This year they expanded the regular season to 17 games. And now, because you have extra playoff spots, maybe they're trying to spread this out, spread the games out, having 6 games on each side in each division, or 6 games total. And that'll put you at 2 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday, and 1 for Monday night. And typically, that's the Monday around the college football playoff championship. And the NFL said they're going to make sure that whatever game that Monday night, or whatever Monday that Monday Night Football game would be on, would not interfere with college football, which we will get to here in a moment. Talking about the NBA, though. And right now, this is kind of what I mentioned, like it's the dog days of summer. In the NBA, it's like they have to get a lot of news stories out there. And this may turn into something, or it may not. But right now, Kyrie Irving isn't vaccinated. And the team he plays for, the Brooklyn Nets, they play in New York, who has a vaccine mandate law about working, about going to work and things like that. So as it stands right now, Kyrie Irving could miss all of the home games at Barclays Center for the Nets. Now he's working at seeking a religious exemption, which I guess it may work. Something that Andrew Wiggins is in the process of doing, because he, you know, obviously playing for Golden State, San Francisco has a similar vaccine mandate law. So Wiggins is actually on the hook for maybe not being able to play home games for Golden State either. it's a situation. It's crazy. So I guess I don't have the rules or law in front of me. So I guess it would work both ways, where if Golden State's playing in Brooklyn or the Nets are playing in San Francisco, does that mean unvaccinated players could not play in those games as well? I'm not sure the rules on that, but that's something that can be really confusing. And right now, as of now, 90% of NBA players are fully vaccinated. So in general, it probably shouldn't be an issue moving forward, but Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins are two of the biggest names that aren't vaccinated right now, and they just happen to play for teams in cities that have pretty strict vaccine mandate laws as it comes to working. So we'll definitely keep you updated on that. I suspect that the fact that they're superstars will trump the rules in general, and I think this religious exemption will probably work, because I can't see the NBA not allowing Kyrie Irving to miss half the games. And then if you get to playoffs, what's happening then? That's a pretty significant issue, which I believe is going to be taken care of. Which as of now, to start the season, it would need to be a situation where he's religiously exempt, or exempt for religious reasons, because we have training camp starting in a few days and we're just over a month away from the start of the regular season. So it's a situation where he has to make a decision pretty quick, as if he's going to get vaccinated and then have that second vaccination to be fully vaxxed by the time the regular season starts. And this is a crazy, I want to say year, but it's just as crazy as it was last year, if not more so. But right now, when you're talking about, you talk about sports gambling, there's so many figures and factors that go into situations and games, and now you're worrying about players. Are they vaccinated? Are they going to be able to play? I mean, look at the NFL right now. You're having so many players be put on the COVID restriction list, or whatever it's called, even if they're vaccinated. Now, if they test positive or have close encounters, it helps if they're vaccinated on when they can come back. But there's so many things that go into it that it's sometimes hard to have all the information in a timely fashion to place bets. And if you've ever found yourself searching for trends and insights that would help you improve gambling profits, or if you struggle to find cappers that are to follow that are constantly bringing you profitable picks, I may have a solution for you. Cappers Collective, that's a free sports gambling newsletter. It's delivered to you, emailed to you every Thursday morning, free, no charge. It helps you to find the most important sports gambling trends, insights, and the most profitable cappers to follow in the world in this weekly newsletter. Now, right now, like I said, it was free. You can sign up right now and have the most recent newsletter sent to you for this week, this past Thursday's newsletter. You just go to cappers-collective.com. It brings up the website, type in your email, and boom, it's in your inbox. This is something that I do, because I like to do a lot of parlays, because it's throwing down little bits of money with the outside chance you could win a big profit. But man, I'm just busy all the time. You have, especially with parlays, you have so much you have to know about. I mean, it's basically guessing if you're not informed. And I know I do a lot of research in sports for this podcast, but it's more specific for this podcast. I have another podcast. I have a family. I have two kids. It's hard to do a lot of that research on your own. This is something, Cappers Collective is something that's going to help you out if you have a busy life, but you like to stay informed and make the best gambling decisions. Guys, it's cappers-collective.com, and I'm going to put that in the link. I'm going to put that link in our comment box. So all you have to do is click right there and go do it right now. Don't miss the opportunity to deepen your wallet today. Now, jumping back, we're going to go back to football. This college football right now. Going to jump into today's games, the early games today. Today, if you're listening today, Texas Tech, Texas are playing. Texas, we thought was, as we keep thinking every year, that they're going to be right up there, that they're back. Obviously wasn't the case a couple of weeks ago when they got blown out by Arkansas, but they rebound last week with a big win over Rice, blowing them out 50-plus points. So I think Texas will get back up there in the rankings. Maybe slow down. They're not back yet, but I think they're going to be contending nationally here in the next few years. Local here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, SMU and TCU are continuing their rivalry. They didn't play last year, obviously, because of COVID. That was one of the games that got scratched because a lot of teams didn't play very many games, and a lot of out-of-conference games didn't work out. But this is going to be a big game also because both teams are undefeated. SMU's 3-0, TCU's 2-0. Neither team's ranked at this point, but they're having strong seasons. So we definitely want you definitely want to tune into that. Moving on to the later games, a big one, maybe one of the best games, at least in terms of rankings, is Notre Dame and Wisconsin. Number 12, Notre Dame, 18, Wisconsin, playing today. And the reason I say maybe, or per rankings, maybe one of the best games, is I think Notre Dame might be overrated. I mean, looking at their schedule so far, they came in ranked very high, top 10 team. Florida State takes them to overtime. They win on a field goal, and then Florida State missed their field goal. Whatever you want to call it, there was a challenge by the team, by Florida State, and they were able to move their field goal attempt up. But a lot of people are thinking they were icing their own kicker. So Notre Dame beats Florida State 41-38 in overtime. And right now, if you go look at Florida State, they're 0-3. They're doing terrible. They lost to Jackson State the very next week. So every week Florida State win, Notre Dame, or the Notre Dame win over Florida State, looks less and less impressive to Notre Dame. We thought Florida State was coming back. We thought they were great because they almost beat Notre Dame, but it may be the opposite way. So Notre Dame in their second game plays Toledo. Not very impressive either. They won 32-29. Very close game to Toledo. And then the last week's game, Purdue, they did win 27-13, which if you're truly a top 10 team, which technically right now they're not, they're number 12, you should have beat them by a lot more, but they didn't. The game wasn't really that far apart. I mean, it was a one-score game up until near the end. So that 27-13 final score is a little misleading. But if Notre Dame's not overrated, if they're the real thing, maybe they got off to a slow start. If they want to make another playoff run and actually compete, we'll find out pretty quickly. I mean, like I said, they play number 18 Wisconsin today. That should not be an easy game. And then the game after that, they play number 8 Cincinnati. So Cincinnati, not a traditional top 10 team, but they've been a solid team for the last couple of years, and this year has been really good. So Notre Dame, I mean, I don't hate Notre Dame in any way, form, or fashion. I'm not a hater. One of my favorite sports movies is Rudy. I do think Notre Dame can be a bit much sometimes. Of course, I'm a Longhorns fan, and I understand Texas is a bit much most of the time. They kind of fall in there with Texas, Michigan, Notre Dame as the top programs overall that hasn't done a lot in a while. Notre Dame has been in a playoff, as opposed to Michigan and Texas haven't yet. But those are the three loud fan bases that don't really show it on the field as much as they should. But Notre Dame has the opportunity to do that these next couple of weeks. And after that, their schedule gets a lot easier. So I think if they can somehow come out with a win against Wisconsin and Cincinnati, that may lock in a spot for them to get in the playoff if they don't get upset later down the road. Another game that could be the best game, because this is a pretty weak week, a non-strong week in college football. We're still starting to get into conference play, and then a lot of teams like Ohio State is playing Akron, and Ohio State's resting their quarterback CJ Stroud because they're playing Akron. So there's a lot of those mismatches still happening right now. We're not quite into it where Texas OU play. It's starting to really get into the good parts of the college football season. But this weekend at AT&T Stadium, Southwest Classic, A&M and Arkansas. Number 7, Texas A&M, is taking on number 16, Arkansas, which, like I said, Arkansas beat up on Texas a couple of weeks ago. This at the beginning of the season, this game may not have been looked upon as one of the better games coming into that people would think going into the fourth week of the season. But I mean, it's gonna be a strong contender. This is gonna be a good game. I hope it's a close game. And really, it has been traditionally a close game. Texas A&M is usually always ranked higher, and Arkansas will take them to the fourth quarter with a close game for the most part. If you look back on the history of this, the Southwest Classic happening at AT&T Stadium. So I expect a really good game, and hopefully it doesn't disappoint. Like I said, we're trying to watch these great games moving into until we get to Texas OU week and rivalry week later on the season and SEC matchups. And right now it's a situation where we're trying to just make it there. Now, we've talked just about every sport that's happening right now except baseball. And right now we have a week and a half left of baseball, about 9 games for most teams. And right now, a few teams have clinched. We have the American League, the Tampa Rays already clinched the East. In the Central Division, the White Sox clinched that division for the first time since 2008. And in the West, it's not really close at this point. The Astros have the lead. Mariners are 7 games back. It looks like, 7 games back with 9 games to go doesn't look like a good chance. But the A's are 9 games back, and the only reason I even bring them up, statistically they're not eliminated, but six of their last 9 games are against the Astros. So then the other 3 games are against the Mariners. So the A's have a chance to do this. Now, obviously, it's not all in their hands because the Astros would have to lose the 3 games, I believe, against the Angels that they don't play against the A's. But the A's have a chance if they can, they'd have to win 9 straight. It's a little crazy to say. I wasn't even going to bring them up till I realized A's and Astros play so much in this last couple of weeks. The A's there, 9 games back with 9 games to go. Wild card situation, the Red Sox and Yankees are right there. They have the 2 wild card spots. Blue Jays are just behind them. And then again, the Mariners and A's are a few games back. In the National League, the Braves have the lead in the East with the Phillies only 2 games back. The Central, the Brewers, are the only team in the National League that's clinched their division right now. And in the West, the Giants and the Dodgers, 1 game separating them right now. Giants have that 1 game edge over the Dodgers for the West Division Championship. Going into the wild cards, again, the Giants and Dodgers, one of those teams is going to win the West Division. The other team is going to be 1 wild card spot, and they both clinch the playoffs. So that's one of the wild card spots, is the Giants or the Dodgers. And right now the Cardinals have the other spot. And that's pretty, I'm going to say locked in, but there's a little bit more separation in the National League wild card than in the American League. The Phillies, Reds, and Padres are the teams that still have a chance to do that. And I can't talk about baseball on this podcast without bringing up the Rangers. As much as I don't want to, because they've had one of their all-time worst seasons. Believe it or not, right now, they're not even, they're the 4th worst team by record wise going into today. You still have the Pirates, and then obviously the Orioles and the Diamondbacks are the worst teams in baseball, talking about records. But for the Rangers, this is becoming one of their worst seasons in team history. In the last 10 games, they've been outscored by 46 runs, which makes it second worst in team history in a 10-game span. And a lot of this is coming up today because this year is the 50th anniversary of Washington announcing that the Washington Senators are going to leave Washington and come to Texas. So right now it's hard to say it's hard to talk about because the Rangers have been bad for the last few years, and for the foreseeable future, at least for 3 or 4 more years, if they can't turn things around, or if they can turn things around only 3 or 4 more years. But they're not getting much sympathy. Building a new stadium right in the middle of this rebuilding period. Getting rid of Nolan. I mean, that was years and years ago, but it's starting to, you know, people still talk about that. From the perception of being judged by the fan base. It's hard to focus on that because there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes that the fans don't know, or there are a lot of bandwagon fans or fans that just don't really pay attention to the sport to know what's happening. But you're talking about perception because you want to sell tickets. You want to sell apparel. You want that support from the fans. You want them to watch your games and have those ratings. And it's bad to, although the Rangers have won a couple of division titles since Nolan left, and JD's hired Chris Young as the assistant GM a couple of years ago. But, and they do have decent talent coming up. Now, whether they can develop that correctly as they should is really the question, because that's been an issue, especially with pitching. The great pitchers the Rangers have had in their World Series run and making a couple of winning a couple of divisions before this rebuilding period, because all their great pitchers were traded for or signed in free agency. They weren't developing the players they needed to, and they traded away most of their great prospects, which for the most part hasn't panned out. Those prospects haven't panned out to do great things where you really are upset about trading those away and not getting a World Series title for it. But they do have some players coming up, and obviously, you know, being so bad, they're going to get decent draft picks. But right now, it's not a fun time to be a Rangers fan. I try to include baseball in this podcast as much as I can. But a good majority of our listeners are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they want to hear more about the Rangers, or they don't want to hear them at all. And obviously, I have a good chunk of listeners outside the DFW area that would love to hear about baseball. I get messages all the time that we need to talk about baseball more, and we're going to do that moving forward. And on our next episode, next week, we're going to have pro football player Chris Robb Jr. back on the show. So until then, I'm Ashton. Thank you for listening.